Good evening, and welcome to Sleep With Me. We're the podcast that puts you to sleep. And we do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, pull up your covers, snuggle in, and press play. We'll do the rest. The podcast creates a safe place where you can put aside anything that's bothering you or going through your mind or that you're thinking about. I know I suffer from overthinking-itis and brainatosis, different other diseases. And I've tried the drugs that give you the leaky guts and, you know, you drive while you're asleep. All those things, they don't work. Now, I'm not sure this podcast works either, but what was my point? My point is, this podcast, the goal is to create a safe place where you can put those thoughts aside and slowly fall asleep. And the reason it works is because I'm good at telling incredibly boring stories. Now, they start off interesting, so it's a little trick of that part of your brain that thinks it's so smooth. Oh, I better not be messing with that part of the trickster part of your brain, or maybe we're the trickster, I'm not sure. But we're going to take your mind, distract you, distract that part of your brain, and say, hey, let's listen to a story. Sit down, little buddy. We're going to listen to a little story here. But then the stories are going to get more and more boring, and before you know it, you and your little racing brain buddy are going to be sound asleep. If this is your first time here, welcome. Give it a shot. See if it works. It's worked for other people. It might work for you. It might not. All I can ask is you try. It's strange. It's different. I've got a lot of mental problems. I'm putting it all on the table. But it's all in good fun. Serious business done in good fun, I guess, maybe. We're on the web, www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can give us feedback or hate mail or questions, comments, concerns. feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. Or you can find me on Twitter @DearestScooter. I don't know what else. We have some housekeeping, though, to do. I spent a lot of time in this podcast apologizing for my ignorance. And once again, I need to apologize for my ignorance. I need to formally, if there is a way to formally apologize, to the writer, Julia Alvarez, and to Julia Butterfly Hill. I somehow mashed the two of you up into one unbelievable person. And believe me, I didn't mash it up. Actually, I don't. It's a more of an extensive ignorance than just on the podcast, because I've been operating under the delusion that you're one person, probably for at least a year, if not 2 years. I work with books. I don't want to get into how I work with books, but a lot of books come my way. I got a lot of, you know, brain malfunctions. So the only thing I think of is that I saw In the Time of Butterflies and Julia Alvarez, and then that created this subconscious connection that's like, oh, that's, because I don't know, I think that's a work of fiction. I don't think it's a memoir, but maybe I was like, oh, I mean, that would be too obvious to be a memoir for Julia Butterfly Hale. She wouldn't call it In the Time of Butterflies. But, you know, and then, I don't know, I totally fucked up. I'm an idiot, and I apologize to both of you. You both deserve the praise you got as one person. And I'm sure, I know, I looked on the web, Julia Butterfly Hill, she's still in her beautiful first act or her second act of her life of activism and speaking out and being out there fighting for what she believes in. Julia Alvarez, I did not look up your personal history, but I know you're a wonderful author. I know a lot of people that read your books that I interact with on a daily basis. So I'll put my apologies, and I'll probably have to work in some amends there. I'll probably read your books, Julia Butterfly Hill. I don't know. I'll work on doing something for you as well. But that's the spirit of forgiveness out of me being a jackass. What is housekeeping number two is, I know a lot of you are new to the podcast. Last time I floated this idea. Hold on, we're getting a weird sound in here. Or I could just be having hearing tinnitus. Okay, I know housekeeping bit number two. I know a lot of you are probably new to the podcast since I pitched this idea. So I want, remember, it's feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. I want to know what your thoughts are about me going and doing the boring parts of this season of Game of Thrones. And probably I just pack it in after we're done with Get Bezos. I'll just go through every episode over, you know, do two episodes a week. Because I haven't started rewatching the season of Game of Thrones this season. I've only watched every episode once. But I have to tell you, people, I don't know how many of you watch Game of Thrones or how many of you... I'm a lover of TV. I'm not sure I've ever seen a show firing on all cylinders like this season's Game of Thrones, where I am just at the end of the last 3-4 episodes of season. I'm not one that's rendered speechless. Obviously, I'm full of hot air. That's what I do here. But I mean, I'm literally rendered speechless, like gasping. And not always out of like a big dramatic moment. A lot of them have been these subtle. There's been big drama and there's been little drama. But I mean, Benioff and Weiss, bravo. I have no idea. I have to look up who does the casting on that show, because I don't know if I've ever seen a show with that large a cast where the casting is just, they kill it. Every person they cast is, if you do not watch Game of Thrones, start watching it. Do yourself a favor. If you love TV, if you love movies, it's an interpersonal drama. I don't know if maybe some people's objection is that it's about dragons or swordplay. Yeah, there are dragons. There are swordplay. There's people getting gutted and stuff. But it's really about people and their problems and how they get what they want or don't get what they want, and how they deal with stuff, just like everything else. Kind of like kids playing in a sandbox, but their sandbox is Westeros. So if you're really, I would say if you're so strongly opposed to me doing any Game of Thrones content, yeah, if you're totally opposed to it, email me, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com, and say do not do any Game of Thrones content. Otherwise, and I'll try. If there's a lot of you that don't watch spoilers, I don't know. I'll figure it out. It's just the boring. I'm going to rewatch. This is the whole thing. I just went on a whole tirade. Well, one, I want you to watch something that really is blowing my effing mind. And I don't know, maybe it's where I'm at in my life that something's triggering this. Because I know that Breaking Bad was killing it. Sopranos killing it. True Detective killing it when I watch those. But I'm just not sure. I mean, I don't know if it's just where I am at now. So I don't want to say ever in the history of television, but in my experience with television, this is a rare experience where you're left wanting and satisfied at the same time at the end of each episode. Wow. I'm going to rewatch the season is basically what I'm saying. I said, hey, if I'm going to rewatch it, I'm going to watch it, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more times each episode. Just to watch the acting and the wow. I mean, and you're probably thinking, I'm either, bro, I'm trying to go to sleep, or I'm already asleep, or enough about Game of Thrones. What are you, a HBO pitch man? Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm just a lover of great things. That's a bit pretentious. Okay, the only thing I'm saying is I'm going to rewatch. I feel like I'm going to argument with someone I'm in a relationship with now. I'm going to rewatch Game of Thrones. I'm going to take notes. And I could record podcast episodes just like I did with The Walking Dead. But that was when I was new at podcasting. To be honest, I didn't know really what I was doing. I was really nervous. I didn't have this comfort level I do with you listeners and feel, you know, that I'm actually doing something to help people and to feel your support and your love. So maybe it'd be a little bit better than when I did Walking Dead, since I did it 2 seasons ago, maybe. So let me know, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast, or not, but I'm thinking about it, so yeah. I just went on and on. Housekeeping done. We're back with another episode of Get Bezos, the tale of Richard Warren Sears and James Cashpenny's escape from purgatory, and return. return to Earth in a quest for vengeance against Jeff Bezos, the man they feel crushed their retail empires. Older episodes can be found at www.sleepingwithbikers.com/getbezos. GetBezos. When we last left off, I think the Rainbow Warrior, the Rainbow Assassin, was swallowed by a whale, or a demon whale, related to Cookie Puss. Turns out that Cookie Puss isn't the whale, it's Fudgy the whale. So this is some sort of real demon whale that looks a bit like Fudgy the whale, made by Carvel Ice Cream. Not even sure if they're still in business, but I post those ads on really great, great commercials. Really friendly voice, that Carvel pitchman. Second time I've used pitchman this episode. Also, James Cashpenny and R.W. Sears were in hell. They had been dealing with some giants, and people that were in hell having a good time because the power was out and the giants were free. These giants turned out to be great dudes or dudettes, I'm not sure. And they were playing the Olympics, they had centaurs, whole nine yards. So let's get back to the story, shall we? On another episode of Get Bezos Here. So we open the night. We're in a deep, dark tunnel, somewhere in the depths of hell. I'm walking down that tunnel is R.W. Sears, all alone. The tunnel's faintly lit by these ingenious devices. I don't know if they're devices, but like little clear crystals or something where lava that's passing by can light. Kind of like, yeah, something you'd see at Land of the Lost, maybe. Lava crystal lights, I guess you'd call them. I think the lava's just flowing by, but every once in a while there's a semi-clear panel of crystal. We're a little lava light. I mean, this isn't just the Hawaiian lava people. No offense to Hawaii. I've been to Hawaii. I've been, since a young lad, fantasizing my entire life about interactions with lava. And I don't know if that's a male, typical male fantasy, or not. Or maybe it's just a human fantasy. Maybe you females fantasize about lava. Not a sexual fantasy. Just a fantasy that, I mean, well, I guess there's different layers of the fantasy. Like, I would love to have superpowers so I could interact with lava and scoop it up in my hands, maybe taste it. I mean, none of that's realistic. But I'd also like just to be as close to lava as possible one day and see it splashing. And I'm sure if it splashes too much and gets you in the eye, you're effed. But from what I've seen on TV, Hawaii's probably the closest I'm going to get someday, unless I get one of those suits, and even then, superpowers would be ideal. But the thing about Hawaii lava, and again, I'm not knocking your lava, Hawaii, is that it does have some black in it, because it's not, like, super white hot. This lava that's churning through hell, clearly we're closer to the center of the earth, as far as if everyone in this program's been honest. But so, it's a lip eye. So, RW, wow, tangent. Going tangential on the lava. Why don't you tell us your whole life story, bro? About freaking your life story with lava. So, RW Sears is strolling down this hall, this tube, lava tube, tunnel. Oh, buddy boy, okay. And he's like, 1 foot at a time. Keep going. He goes down the hall. This tunnel, and he gets to a fork in the tunnel, in this big chamber where his tunnel empties out to, and then clearly on the other side of the chamber, two tunnels. And it's definitely clear because this tunnel has neon signs. And on the left, it says long way, and on the right, it says short way. And then as RW walks into the chamber, he notices it's got some benches to sit. So he takes a seat and he contemplates the signs. Then he notices they're switching on and off. So the long way switches to doom. And then back to long way. Like an old-fashioned, and that's pretty sad to say, old-fashioned neon sign. When do we turn our backs on neon signs? I mean, I love LED. But, I mean, what do you got to go to Burning Man to see a neon sign nowadays? Or any kind of creative new neon sign technology? I'd like to go to that neon museum in Las Vegas. Anywho, on the right side it says, Gloom, Short Way. Is that right? Oh, no. Fuck. Fucked that up. On the left it says Long. On the left it says Short Way. Yeah, so on the left the sign says Short Way. And on the right it says Long Way. And the Short Way on the left is Doom. Long Way's Gloom. I messed that up. So R.W. sits, okay, well, friggin', oh, all right, James got the friggin' map, oh, God, Long Doom or Gloom, Short Way, Doom, Long Way, Gloom, friggin', I think they'd have some friggin' waters here, oh, God, thought the power was up. These signs seem to be working just fine. That's ridiculous. Oh, boy. All right, I'm doing Doom Short Way. So he gets up. He walks down the hall. He goes about. Goes in. Keeps walking down the hall. And slowly loses sight of the anteroom behind him. Goes around a long bend to the left, where you can't see what's coming next. This isn't like a big tunnel. It's about just tall enough that if a 6-foot man put his hands above that, he could touch the ceiling, and just barely touch both walls with his hands. And then the tube empties out. The tunnel empties out to another chamber. In this chamber, it's like a pretty big chamber. What does a pretty big chamber look like, dude? It's a pretty big chamber, and it looks like a train station. It's even got pillars, kind of lava pillars, like a stalactite and a stalagmite met and fused into a pillar, which could be, probably not, because I think those things have to do with limestone and water seepage, where this is, you know, we're in a low liquid area because most of the liquid's going to be turned to steam. But so it's a train, it looks like a train station, and the RW even walks in and he notices there's even a little ditch there, and he's like, freaking train tracks? What the frig is going on with this dang place? What is this? There's another neon sign. I thought they banned neon for, what's that freaking, what does that sign say? I'm freaking turn on. Oh, there it goes. I just lit up Doom. Direct to hell. Center. Hell Centere. Center. Centere. There must be some friggin' Doom Direct, eh? Well, looks like I'll be taking that. And he waits for a few minutes. Twiddles his thumbs, literally. Just gonna twiddle my friggin' thumbs here. And take this train. Get this alarm off. Turn this power on. I don't know how. I bet you Freddy Sprague had something to do with the train since he invented the electric torsion or whatever. Oh, and then he hears, oh, God, it smells like hot pee in this train station. Train comes into the station. The door is open. RW steps on. It's a gleaming red. Again, I guess this devil or Mr. Hell or whoever's in charge is big on the iridescent red, almost like a chrome red combo. So that's the color of the car. The inside of the car is all different shades of chrome red. RW sits down. Just kind of looks in front of him. Door's closed. Train starts off again. Rocking. RW was a freaking bus.
subway in this friggin' hellhole. I should have waited for James, my buddy. Oh, how did I get in this mess, buddy? Oh, I hope you're okay. I'm going to turn this power on. I'm going to get back there. I'll deal with everything. I'll get you back. I got to fix everything. I screwed it up. Mess of freaking... was a rare.
And then RW hears something like a shifting. He looks up to his right. And like the two seats by the door in the back of the train across from him. There's a guy lounging there. Kind of a guy looks down on his luck. He's got your stereotypical trench coat on, a little beat up. He's got sunglasses and a hat pulled down. Kind of looks like a little disheveled, like he's been knocked around.
Okay. I must stay over here away from that guy. Oh boy. Good characters even in the hell. Good gravy.
Oh, and then the guy gets up. He knows RW. He goes and sits across from RW. Guy peers over his side. Hey, how you doing, buddy? How you doing? You all right?
I am not all right. I'm terrible.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm pretty terrible myself. Where are you headed?
I believe I'm headed to the Dome. This is the right... Oh, good God. Did I get on the right train? I'm headed to the center of hell. Middle of hell. You know a lot about this hell.
This is the Dome Direct. I know that much.
Okay, so I got on the right train. How many stops are on this train?
Only one stop, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I gotta get off. I need to fix the alarm. I work for the Hell Power. Turn the power on. There's an alarm. You don't got any idea where that stuff is?
No, man. I'm just riding this train, you know. You look out of sorts.
Oh, buddy, if you believe the last... However, I made a mess of things. I'll be honest, I'm scared, man. Mess things up. And I gotta get there, turn this alarm off, turn the power on. After that, I don't even know what I'm gonna do. I'm just afraid.
Oh, wow, buddy. What are you afraid of?
My buddy's in trouble, my best friend, Mr. James Cashpenny. And a lot of other people are in trouble. And I would say it is 90%. One dude jerk's fault, and 10%, 9% mine a bit.
Oh wow, that's pain.
What's the matter, buddy? You all right?
It's okay. It's okay. It's just my kidneys.
Your kidneys, eh?
Yeah, it's terrible pain. My kidneys. Oh, my bones, they're so crackly.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's, crackly bones are the worst.
Oh, my bladder's distended, and I got back pain. And, it's terrible. I got phantom testicular pain even. I got Bright's disease. Oh, it's terrible with my kidneys. That's the worst. Oh, the pain.
Oh, Bright's disease. Holy mackerel, that is a terrible, terrible disease. I suffered from Bright's disease myself in the day. It's terrible. It took my life. It did.
We're in such a good company. H.P. Lovecraft. Bram Stoker. Chester Arthur had Bright's disease. You believe that?
Oh, any other famous people have Bright's disease, you know, ma?
Oh, but Ty Cobb, the Tsar of Russia, Alexander III, Emily Dickinson, Robert Wood Johnson, the lovely Jean Harlow.
Oh, Jean Harlow, who's that?
Canadian strongman Louis Cyr. You know?
No, I'm not familiar with Canadians. It's just, any other famous people, Titans of retail enterprise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Macy's, the founder of Macy's had Bright's disease. Roland something, I remember. He's Macy's. He saved Macy's. He made Macy's. Oh, my Bright's disease. Oh, good God.
Oh, right. Oh, the train's slowing down here, buddy.
And the train slows down. Sits there for a second. The door's closed.
Oh, you getting off this stop?
No, I can't get off the train. I'm in too much pain.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, that's strange. You have Bright's disease down here. You think,
I'm going to suffer from Bright's disease for eternity. Oh, that's so terrible.
Oh, man, that is a rough sentence you got there. That's horrible. Oh, man.
The door's open.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. Wow, and the power being out doesn't save you from the pain, does it?
No, I'm stricken with the permanent Bright's. I got clogged kidneys. Oh, the pain.
Well, yeah, that sounds rough. But I gotta be going, so I'm RW. It was a pleasure to meet you. I'm terribly sorry for your pain, because I know directly how terrible it is, as my life was stolen from me. So have a good day.
Okay.
What was your name?
Wesley. Wesley.
Wesley, that's my... Oh, Wesley? Is that...
Father, it's me. It's your son, Wesley. Oh, it's me, Father.
Oh, my boy. Wesley, my boy, it's you. Oh, Wesley, my son. What are you doing down here?
Oh, Father, I've been suffering. I've suffered. They put me down here. I've suffered from Bright's disease forever. I made some mistakes, Father. Oh, terrible, terrible.
Oh, Wesley, my boy. Oh, no. Oh, my boy, I don't even know what to say. I'm so sorry.
It's a genetic thing, Father. You passed it on to me. But they're keeping it out. You know, I should have just... My pain should be gone.
Oh, my boy, come here.
RW sits down and puts Wesley's head in his lap and strokes his hair and just holds him. Oh, Father, thank you, Father, for coming so close to me. This feels so good. Oh, it feels so good. Father, I missed you so. We all died, my brother. Me, none of us made it past 50.
I know, this Bright's disease, it takes you young. Ish. Oh, my boy, here, come. I wish I could give you some water or something else to ease your pain. Is there anything I can do?
Yeah, just stay with me, Father. Just please stay here with me.
Oh, my boy. Oh, my boy, I know why. Oh, no. Oh, my boy, are you going to be... Like, I gotta do something, my boy. I gotta... Oh, no.
Father, you can't leave me here. You can't leave me here. I'm in pain.
How long you been here for? Oh, my... I don't know what this is. Oh, no. I gotta get to the center of hell and shut the power off and turn the alarm on or something.
Oh, Father, just stay with me. Please tell me a story about my youth or something, please. Just this feels good. It feels right.
Oh, my boy, no. But, Well, just close your eyes, my son. And, you just rest here. Oh, man. I don't know what to do. If James were here, he could go. I could stay. I don't know if this is really my boy or some hell delusion. But it feels right to stay here with him. But then all the people of the earth will die. And I don't know what to do. And I can't leave him. He's suffering. But I can't. Oh, man. If I'm not a hero, I'm just, if James were here, maybe I'd have to stay here with my boy and hope James James figures it out. Oh.
And then R.W. happens to catch his reflection across the way in the window of the subway train. He sees this look on his face. It's a look of desperation. Like, what is the right thing to do here? What am I going to do? Do I save my son? I mean, he can't be saved, but I could ease his pain. You know, being part of him is like, am I going to sit here for a time? I don't know. It's my boy. His heart is almost like bleeding. Because if it's his child suffering so from Bright's disease, which apparently is this terrible disease to suffer from, or does he leave his son? He probably isn't thinking out as much as I am, but his son's dead. He's punished to be there. Does he leave him? Save humanity, probably. Save hell. What's the right thing to do? Man, let's see.
Oh, man. Oh, well, I gotta go. I gotta stay. I don't know. I'm being a nincompoop. Look at you nincompoop.
Oh, Father, what if you just don't touch? Just what happens if you don't go and you don't turn the power on the alarm? Well, what would happen?
Well, they'd nuke us. Heaven, I guess, has got some nuclear weapons type thing. Thunder, lasers, something or other. And they're just going to wipe hell out because people are escaping and they want to protect what they can any minute, probably, or impending doom. And the best I could tell is that hell be erased and then I'll have to figure out some alternative. Oh, bet you that friggin' Gorbelly is the alternative, son of a... So, yeah, we'll be gone.
Oh, but Father, that'll ease my pain. Just stay here with me, Father, until... Father, are you alive, or you died? You died.
Yeah, it was, my boy, yeah, this is my... I mean, this is my fault anyway. I could have raised you better. I don't know what you did. Well, I don't want to know what you did, son. Yeah, you're my son. You're my boy. But, yeah, it was in purgatory. I got out. I needed a vendetta settled. It was a bad idea. And now we're here, and,
So just come for me, Father, and let us go. What will happen to us?
I guess we'll be ended. We'll just vanish, I guess, from existence, and,
My suffering will be ended, Father. And you'll be,
Whoa. Are you real? Are you feeding me a line here? You just want me to sit here and let you? Are you? I don't know if I can trust this. Are you just trying to string me along here? Or
no, Father, it's me, Wesley, my brother, R.W. Junior. He's down here too, Father.
Well, good. I can't just stand here. I can't just do nothing. I can't just leave you, kid. I don't know what my buddy James would do here. Because I'm just your son. If you're my son, I messed up as a father and spent it with the stores. And then even I got to purgatory, I couldn't let it go. There's this guy down here, Jeff. He's making stuff, selling stuff. I got to get to the point, I know, but... I got so mad up there in purgatory, and I was like, I'm gonna get this clown. I go back to Earth. I'm gonna get him. I'm gonna do something to him terrible, humiliate him, destroy him, ruin him.
Oh, Father, that sounds just like you.
Yeah. I don't know, you know. You live and you learn, not me. And so then I figured out this evil scientist up there in heaven. Well, this evil scientist up there in purgatory, I talked to him. So, yeah, it's like he was bringing me the papers, you know, and some other stuff, a little scotch, or, you know, some other stuff, like a gray market, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, he says, hey, I could get you down there. You'd have to do some work for me. Involves, you know, the devil. I got some business with the devil to take care of. I wasn't even paying attention. My boy. And I messed everything up, I did. And if I could just, let me just hold you. Oh, if I could just squeeze this Bright's disease out of you. But if this is some sort of eternal malady you've been stricken with, I can't just... I'm filling with rage. R.W. looks himself again. He sees his reflection, his angry face. My boy, you know what? I never thought anything through before, and look where it got me. But I'm not going to sit here thinking morose. I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to take you with me. And he picks his son up. He throws him over the back. Oh, my father's pain. Just stay. Just come. Oh, I was moving my kidneys. Oh, my back. He's hard. Oh, I'm running. He runs out the subway door. He runs out the subway door. He runs down this hall, down this hall. He comes to this modern, gleaming, modern, white and stainless steel room. Oh, my son, speak to me. The son's passed out from the pain. And R.W. just cradles. Oh, my boy, oh, my boy. And then he hears it. Beep, beep, beep. And he sees this tower in the center room. It's gleaming. It's got neon and laser lights. And it's got like one of those police siren type alarms that's spinning around. A whole nine yards. Clearly some sort of high-tech gizmo center.
It was, oh, my boy, I think this must be.
And R.W. sees this bench in the side of the room, and he lies his son down on the bench, and he curls him up on the bench, he pushes him down, and then he runs over to this tower, and it's beep, beep, he sees like a big switch that says alarm on, alarm off. And then he sees another switch next to that, power on. It says, master power on, master power off.
Oh, God, what is that? Turn the power off. Turn the power on, alarm off. Okay. Okay, my boy. Oh, I gotta get this alarm off. I don't want to soul, and then I'll figure it all out. And he goes to reach it, and he hears this voice.
Halt! Halt! Halt, sir!
And he looks. In the shadows, he sees someone.
He said, I think you should reconsider that, sir.
Oh, who's that? What do you want?
I think you should reconsider shutting off that alarm and shutting off that turning that power back on.
I'm not reconsidering nothing. I gotta save keep my boy from me from getting eliminated, my best friend. And then I'm gonna figure the rest out, but my son, he's in terrible pain, the Bright's disease.
Well, I think I may have a solution for you before you go acting rashly. Why don't you just leave things as they are and come with me?
Oh, good God, it's you, Gorbelly, isn't it?
Oh, well, I'm making you an offer, a one-time offer, and you can consider. Otherwise, soon, my guards will be here to overpower you. You can hear them coming. The thunder... The thundering of the footsteps approaching. Or you could just come with me, bring your boy, and I can have my men fetch your other son. He's in an interesting part of hell we could tell you about.
Oh, no, not my other, not R.W. Jr., please.
Why don't you have some mercy on your son and just take him with us? We'll just take him with us and we'll take him right out of hell. There's going to be a new hell anyway. It's inevitable, R.W.
But if I leave it on as well, hell's gonna be wiped out. What about my best friend, James Cash Penny?
I think Mr. Penny's going to be detained. So, do you want to save your son or not, R.W.?
What? Your voice changed. Aren't you supposed to be like a lumberjack or something? Why are you hiding from me?
Make your choice in 5, 4, 3, 2.
And that's where we're going to stop tonight, folks. A good spot to stop, I think. And we're going to see what happens. We'll be back real soon. And as in real soon, I mean 2 nights. Friday, Saturday, and we'll be back Sunday with a new episode. So get a good night's sleep, and thanks for listening.